This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can praise your name. Thank you that we know you. Thank you that we've got a relationship with you. Because these songs, what we've been singing, is not just because we are here, but it's coming from our heart, Father. We want to surrender everything from ourselves. We give it to you because nothing belongs to us. And we want to praise your name. We want to glorify your name. We want to sing along with all the other believers, hallelujah, that your name will be glorified, Father, forever and ever. And thank you that we can come together as a congregation today. A few of them inside, some of them watching by a Facebook Live or listening maybe afterwards. But that we can come together as a spiritual group, spiritual brothers and sisters, and that we can worship you, that we can become quiet, that we can listen to your words, what you want to speak to us this afternoon, and that we can receive it. And that it can be as seeds which are going to produce fruit, and that it's not going to be stolen by the enemy. And Father, any distraction which we've got at the moment, I cut them in the name of Jesus Christ, that we're just going to focus on you and only on you, and that the enemy is not going to distract us, that we can hear what is on your heart, Father. Thank you that we can praise you because we know you. In Jesus' name. I'm feeling a little bit in the spotlight at the moment because the sun is shining through the windows at the top. Normally the sun is not shining that much in the Netherlands, but today it is shining. So enjoy it with me, let me put it that way. Last week God spoke to us about that we can be his children, that we can call ourselves children of God, which is a privilege. That we can be a child of the Creator of heaven and earth. And then we had a look at John 1, verses 12 and 13, where it says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, not of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." So if we believe, then it's not just one thing that we say, I believe and I can sit down at my couch with my remote and waiting for Jesus to come back. No. Then the whole sanctification process is starting. Because we first received him. And once we've received him, then we are starting a process. And then we're going to do his will. And his will, as what we heard last week as well, is to do God's will, is to bring the gospel to the other people. Because God wants us that all the people should hear the gospel. And he wants to use us at as well. You just now saw the video clip of where Pastor Heinrich was also speaking about it, of planting churches and talking about the things, what we're going to do with the fast and prayer. And fast and prayer is something what we read about in as well in the New as in the Old Testament. And when I was busy with the sermon, I was actually so impressed with how Isaiah already in 58 was talking about fasting. And if you've got time, please have a look at it at home and open it up and read it through the whole chapter over there of Isaiah 58. I'm just going to take verse 6 and 9a. And 6 is saying, "It is not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed get free, and that you break every yoke." It's awesome what we can see, what that fasting, what it is going to bring to us. It's going to loose the bonds of wickedness, of where the enemy has got hold on us. It's going to be loosened. It's going to undo heavy burdens, where we feel that we have got burdens on ourselves. It's going to be taken away through that fasting. And it's also that it is going to let the oppressed go free. which means if you are oppressed, you're going to be set free through the fasting as well. And that you will break every yoke. If there is a yoke which is on your shoulders, which is pressing, which is heavy, which is putting you down, Isaiah is saying there, it's going to be broken. And in 9a, so beautiful, God speaking with us. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. And in that prayer and fasting, when we are going to seek God's face, he's saying over there, he's there, he's going to listen to us. And fasting is only going to be of value if it's going to lead us to reflect on our own faults and to amend our lives. It's not something what we're going to do that we say, okay, we're going to have a few days, we're going to have fasting, and we're going to pray, and then it's over. No. Fasting is that we're going to separate us, we're going to sit apart, and we're going to speak to God, and we're going to be open. We had the week which was just over now, last week, we had two conversations again with two couples who were going to get married. And where we were talking about is communication and then the different levels. And then the one level where we totally open up, that is the deepest level you go. And that's the level where we communicate with God. We throw all the doors open. We can share whatever we want to share with God because he knows it anyway. Like I said, in New Testament, we also can read something about fasting. How important it is that people did fasting when they had to make a major decision. So if you also have got in your life where you've got to make a decision and you're not quite sure about it, seek God's face first. Fast and prayer. Prayer and fast, whichever one you want to do it. That you are going to see God's face. They did it in Antioch as well, in the church of Antioch, in Acts 13 verses 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. They were seeking God's face. And then God is speaking to them through the Holy Spirit of what has got to be done. This is an example for us how we can go to God and then through prayer and fasting that we can get guidance from him. A little bit later in Acts, exactly the same. Acts 14 verses 23. And when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Prayer and fasting, going together, seeking God's face, getting guidance from them. And fasting can have different formats. We are thinking about fasting that it is always what food is concerned. And we've got different fasts. We've got, for instance, the Daniel fast. I'm not such a big supporter of the Daniel fast because it's only vegetables and water. I would like to eat some more meaty stuff. But anyway, it is a fast which can be done. The Esther fast, which is for 3 days, that you're going to not eat or drink. But speak to God and ask God how he's going to guide you, what type of fast you're going to do. Because it also could be that you're going to separate yourself or that you're going to focus on God and that you're going to leave something which is very important for you at the moment. It could be a certain thing what you're doing. It could be a certain thing what you are using quite a lot. It could be your Facebook. It could be anything that you say, I'm setting it apart for 3 days because I want to focus on God. I don't want to, that is going to interfere with me. And then we're going to take off our eyes of the things of the world. And we're going to start looking what God wants to share with us, and we're putting our attention to Christ. And fasting is also not that we're going to come with a list of wishes, and that we say, okay, God, here are five. You can choose which one you want to do, but any one of them will suit me. No. We're coming with a total, open, I nearly want to say agenda. We surrender, and we're waiting for God to reply to us. And it's also that when we are going to fast, that we're not going to lift ourselves and that we say, okay, I'm now spiritual because I'm fasting and I'm now a little bit better than the other people who are not fasting. It's not the case. Jesus was very straightforward that with the Pharisees as well when he said to them in Matthew 6, where he also spoke to them about it, and he said, You're not going to tell everyone you're fasting. It's between you and God. When we're going to fast from Monday to Wednesday, it's going to be a week ahead then. We're going to have a look at the vision of Shofar Christian Church, and we're going to seek God's face to get guidance of what we've got to do, what the vision is concerned. The vision, it's each and every Sunday, it's standing behind me at the bottom over there, to reach nations and generations through disciple-making, leadership development, and church planting. And then the first Monday, we are going to ask you that you're going to pray and that you're going to ask God, where do you have to be involved in the disciple-making or leadership training? You've got to ask God, where do you, maybe you've got to attend the course, or maybe you've got to help and facilitate the course, that God wants to use you in the training and also in the leadership development. On day two, which is Tuesday, then we're going to pray, or we're going to talk about and we're going to pray for church planting. That we're going to ask God, how and where do we have to be involved in a church plant? Which church plant is it what God wants us to do? It's not only for Shofar Utrecht, but it's also for yourself. You've got to ask God, where do you want me that I should be involved? And the last day, we're going to pray for the Netherlands. God has placed us over here, and he has placed us with a task. And it's not that we can say, okay, we can only evangelize, or we can only bring the gospel, or we can only be a Christian at certain places. We've got to be a Christian everywhere. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the whole world. We're not limited to one place, which means that the great commandment that Jesus has given is also applicable for us here in Utrecht, so that we can pray. And as I was busy with, I felt that we've got to pray for this next year, that each and every person in Utrecht is going to get an opportunity to hear the gospel. It's not our task to reach each and every one, but that we are going to trust that there are going to be other churches as well who are going to do exactly the same. Because this is the great commandment that Jesus has given to us, that we should share the gospel, that we should bring the good news to other people. And the last day, we're also going to ask that you're going to pray for the elections, which is 2 weeks later. That godly leaders are going to be appointed, and godly leaders are going to be elected, and that they are going to be having an opportunity that even in parliament or cabinet, that they can talk about Jesus, and that they can share the gospel over there. Where we are having a look at over those 3 days is when we go back again to what Isaiah just now said, is that that the people are bound and that they are limited, is that we see there's a spiritual hunger in Utrecht. The people are really hungry over here, spiritually. And we've got something what we can give to them, what can help them, what can satisfy that need, what they've got. Because we've got the gospel, we've got the good news, what we can share with other people. When Jesus was over here on this earth, he was training the disciples, and he was giving examples to the disciples, exactly the way that we've got to do it now as well. Nothing has changed. What he said to his disciples is applicable for us as well. We cannot say, okay, he has said it to the disciples and I wasn't there, so it's not applicable for me. No. Jesus trained the disciples that they could train other people, that they could disciple other people, and at the final end that we can be discipled, that we can disciple other people again. We are in that process. We cannot run away from that responsibility. Matthew 28 is very well known for that. But I just want to read Luke 24. Jesus is saying exactly the same to his disciples. And then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, the third day. And that repentance is that complete change and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, like I just now said, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the whole world. And you are witnesses of these things. The disciples were continuously with Jesus. They cannot keep quiet. They've got to testify about it. They've got to witness about what they've seen. And then that last verse, 49, behold, I send the promise. I'm sending the Holy Spirit of the Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with powers from high, until you are clothed with the powers from high, until you receive the power from the Holy Spirit that you can go and that you can evangelize. We all had situations where we've been having friends, family, even just like we just now heard as well from Marnix that he also spoke to somebody earlier today. Then you start a conversation and then you sometimes wonder, should I have said something about God? Or was it maybe going to be offensive? Or is it maybe going to break the relationship what I've got with this person if I'm going to mention anything about God? This is a difficult thing. You just now saw with the announcements that we've been invited. It's a free course what somebody is offering us that we can attend. And they want to help us a little bit, that if we are in a conversation with a friend or with a colleague, or if it is going to be with somebody in the street or you just met, and you want to bring God into that conversation, that they are going to help us, that we are going to learn a little bit more about us. How can we make God part of our conversation with other people? John the Baptist and Jesus and Peter, they had a certain way which is a little bit different of what is being used at the moment by all the different courses which are available on the world. They went straight forward and they said, repent. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist said it in Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John must have been listening to the Holy Spirit, because the words what he's using is exactly the same words what Jesus is using a little bit later as well in Matthew 4. From that time, Jesus began to preach and said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And if we are going to go with that type of message, if we would walk down the street of Utrecht and we will say, repent, repent, the kingdom of heaven at hand, I think the people are going to look a little bit strange at us and say, but where are you talking about? What's actually happening? It's maybe a little bit of a different way of approach what we need. But repent has got to be part of it. I'll get to it a little bit later. Peter gave exactly the same answer when they asked him, what must we do? And then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when people are accepting, and when people are making Jesus Christ the Lord and the Savior, then heaven is celebrating. It's a beautiful verse in Luke 15. There are two places in Luke 15 where it is talking about. I took this one in verse 10. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Not one sinner who comes to believe, but one sinner who repents, who knows that he has got to change. There's got to be a change in his life. There's got to be a total turnaround, a metanoia. He has got to start thinking differently. He has got to repent of what he's been doing wrong. When we had intercession this week on Tuesday, we didn't know what was actually happening, but God spoke to all of us. Repentance, 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 repentance. And it seems to me this is something that God wants to share with us, that it is very important that we are going to repent. If we're not going to repent, we're missing crucial part of the gospel. And we must also share it with people that it is necessary that they should repent. And if we are going to repent, then God is giving us and promising us forgiveness. 1 John 1, 8 to 10. If we say that we have no sin, if we say that we go our own way, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, if we repent our sins, He is faithful. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we haven't sinned, We make him a liar, and his word is not in us. It's so crucial that we must repent. It's so crucial that we are going to ask God for forgiveness, and he will give it to us if we repent, if we want to change. Because God is serious about it. He sent his son. He sent his son to die for our sins. And if we're not going to repent, it basically means Jesus died for nothing. And that's not the case. It's necessary that we must talk about it, that there are sins where people have got to ask for forgiveness. Yes, there are people who say, I haven't sinned. I've met them as well on a Thursday evening. I remembered that one guy, and I spoke a little bit about repentance, and I spoke a little bit about sin, and then he said, no, he hasn't sinned what he actually can remember. So I said, okay, when you were young, did you ever steal some cookies from your mom or so? He said, no, I've never was such a bad guy. I've never done something like that. I said, okay. I said, you're an IT guy, or he was at least anything in the age of 35, so he most probably is using computers and all that type of stuff. And I asked him, I said, did you ever burn something from the computer, a program illegally or anything like that? He said, no. Any program what he's got, it's all legal, licenses, all numbers. He doesn't burn any CDs. He doesn't do anything whatsoever. Okay. So I said, you're working at a university? He said, yes. I said, are there girls in the classes as well? He said, yes, they're all girls in the classes. I said, do you ever look at one of those girls and you think, I wouldn't mind to have that girl between the sheets this evening? He said, yes, it's happening quite a lot, that I wouldn't mind that I'm having a look at a girl and I think, oh, that girl, I wouldn't mind if I could spend a night with that girl. And I said, well, that's exactly sinning. That is sinning, because you are looking for somebody who is not yours. And we cannot go into a relationship. You cannot go with a girl into bed if you haven't got a relationship, if you are not married with that person. So yes, we are all sinning, and we all need forgiveness for that. And God is very serious about it. And God is very serious about that relationship with us. And that is part of it. Because what we are here at the church and what we're doing over here and the other courses and those type of things as well, it's not to entertain you. And you are not coming over here for entertainment as well. The church is not a place of entertainment. We are a place over here which is very serious about the relationship what we've got with God. Reinhard Bonnke at the time said, the less Holy Spirit we have, the more cake and coffee we need to keep the church going. Let me repeat that one again. The less Holy Spirit we have, the more cake and coffee we need to keep the church going. We are not here for coffee and cake. We are here for God. We are here for hearing what the Holy Spirit is revealing to us. And having a relationship with God is not something which we can add to our normal life. If you're a member of a tennis club and you want to play some golf as well, then you can add another membership to it. If you've got enough time, you can do that. But becoming a member of a church or having a relationship with God cannot be added the same way to your daily living. Something has got to happen. We've got to die to ourselves, which means we've got to throw everything away, and we first take God, and then we are going to be very selective. What are we going to add to it? Because we hear quite often that people are seeing a Sunday as a type of an entertainment. They're going to church. They're trying to keep themselves accountable, and they go to church once a month or maybe twice a month. They're further on not that much involved in the church or anything like that. It's not where it is about. If we are in a relationship with God, then we are involved and we are part of it. And we've got to die to ourselves. Galatians 2 verses 20 is talking about it. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. And if Christ lives in me, then I've got access to the same power as the power which raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. We're going to take our old life and we put it on the cross, the same as what Jesus has been put on the cross. We put our old life also on the cross, and we're starting a total new life, which is about God. I want to finish off with that God is calling us. God is calling us that we are going to be involved, that we are going to be serious about the relationship that we've got with God, and that we're going to be serious about bringing the gospel to other people as well. God wants us that we should do it. And also when we're going to pray next week and we're going to become quiet, that we're not going to directly ask and say, God, where must I get involved? First become quiet and say, Lord, here I am. Show me which things, or is there order between me and you, which I first have got to bring to the cross, because this is where Jesus died for. And then once those things have been sorted out, then we can start communicating with God. Then we can hear what the Holy Spirit is revealing to us of what we've got to do. I want to read a verse, Matthew 23:37, Jesus talking. And when I read this verse, I could nearly say, I could see Jesus with tears in his eyes, seeing the people in Jerusalem, that they didn't want to hear the gospel, that they didn't want to listen to him. They didn't want to be involved with him. Jesus says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. The Old Testament prophets, they've been stoned. They've been murdered. They've been killed because they brought the message. They were talking about you should have a relationship with God. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing, but you were not willing. And when I was reading it, I also felt that there is somebody who's listening this afternoon in the sermon who feels very vulnerable. And you're at a situation that you're looking for cover. And Jesus is your cover. He's waiting for you. Jesus is saying to you, come. Come, my child. Because we are children of God. We heard it last week. Come under my wings and experience my protection. Be protected. Grow. Become strong. And then you can carry on your own. I'm not sure who it is. If it is you, speak to Jesus. Tell Jesus, it's me. I need covering. I need protection. I want to be that chick who goes underneath the hen's wings. I want to be protected. But Jesus is saying to those people in Jerusalem, they are not willing. We can take exactly the same verse and we can say, O Utrecht, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathered her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. On many occasions we speak to people and they don't want to speak about God. They don't want to hear about God. They say it's a story made up by somebody. But we pray that there are going to be people who are going to speak into their lives, or something is going to happen, that somebody's praying for them for healing, or if it's going to be a word of wisdom or knowledge or anything like that, of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But that they will understand and that they can also testify that there is a God. So that we're going to carry on continuously seeking God's face. Because this is also with a fast and prayer. We're doing it once a year for 3 days. But it should be actually in our life each and every day. Not necessarily fasting, but reflecting our life with God and say, God, what is it? What is it what there's still between you and me? What I must get out of my way? Because repentance is necessary. The way to God is through the cross. And if we are not prepared to go to the cross and repent of our sins, we cannot call ourselves children of God. Because if we think that what we're doing, and we think we are good enough, and we think we've said sorry about it, but we carry on with the same with the same sins, then we are not having an honest relationship with God. We've got to thank God for what Jesus has done for us at the cross. And if there's anything what we've got to repent of, that we're going to bring it to Jesus, that we can say, thank you, Jesus, that you died for those sins at the cross. Because if that is not part of the gospel, the repentance, the death of Jesus, then the gospel is empty. Then it doesn't mean anything. As the death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is crucial, we must have also the cross in the conversation what we've got with God. When I started with this sermon, I felt that the Lord said to me, come, my son, come, my daughter. And this is something what God is saying to us. He's waiting for us. We've got to go to him. As a congregation and in our individual capacities, we're going with the fast and prayer. We're going to seek God's face. But we're also going to ask God's guidance. And then we've got to be obedient of what God is showing to us. Where should we get involved and what should we do? It sounds maybe that you say, this church has got a lot of things which you've got to do at the church. But if we've got a living relationship with a living God, then there must be action. And if there's no action, then we've got a dead belief. Then nothing is happening. The verb belief, of the belief is a verb. So it means that there must be something is what we were doing. And that is the process of strengthening our relationship with God. Bringing to him what is necessary, what we've got to bring to him and repent of it. But also listening to him, how he wants to use it. How he wants to use us for his kingdom. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you are always available. And that today again that you calling us, come my son, come my daughter. It's for us, Lord. We've got to make the decision. Are we going to stand up and are we going to walk into your arms which are wide open? Or are we going to say, no, wait a moment. First this and that, and then we come with our conditions. No. We heard it just now. We've got to die to ourselves. Everything from us, we've got to throw it one side and we say, Lord, here I am. I have nothing and I am nothing. But I want to be a child of God. I want to accept that invitation which you're giving to me today. If you're listening or watching this at the moment, and you feel that God is speaking to you because you never made that decision in your life. You never made that decision that you said, I want to accept God as my Father, Jesus Christ as my Savior, and as my Lord, because I only want to do what He's telling me to do, and the Holy Spirit as my helper. If you've never made that decision in your life, you've never spoken it in public, and you feel that the Holy Spirit is stirring your heart this afternoon, and you want to make that decision, don't wait. Don't wait. You've seen the numbers of me and Renee, and you will find them as well on Facebook Live. Give us a call that we can pray along with you, that you can react on that invitation what God is giving to you. Come my son, come my daughter. God wants to be, that you're going to be his son, that you're going to be his daughter. But you've got to react on it, and you've got to come to him. And then all the things which you've done wrong, you don't have to take that along. Because if you repent of your sins, you leave it at the cross. You're not going to come with a bag full of things what happened in your life, what you've done wrong. Once you repent and once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to leave it at the cross. You're freed from it, as what we could hear it in Isaiah as well. You're freed from that suppression. You haven't got any yoke on you anymore. You're free now. And then you can start and having that relationship with God, which can grow just stronger and stronger, where you can communicate with him, where you can open up and where you can share whatever you want to say to him. If you've got to make that decision still in your life because you haven't made it, don't wait. Don't wait too long. Make it today. Say, Jesus, here I am. I'm asking you to be my Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins. I want to accept the Lord as my Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit as my helper. Don't wait too long with it. Father, I'm also praying for those who are listening this afternoon or watching this afternoon and say, yeah, there's nothing new this afternoon. There's maybe nothing new this afternoon, but that we can still use it as a mirror, that we can reflect ourselves against it, and that we can say, is there still stuff in our life which we find more important than a relationship that we've got with God? Is the relationship with God, is it an add-on to something what I already have got? Or is the relationship with God the prime, the foundation on which I build, and then I add the other things to it? And if yours is not in the right order and in the right sequence, then go to God and discuss it with Him in your inner room. Speak to Him, repent of it, and set it in the right order. Thank you, Father, that we also can be excited about its prayer and fasting, what we're going to do in a week time. We can come and seek your face. And Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal to us if there's still anything between us and you, that we can repent of it, that we can put it aside, that we can leave it at the cross, and that we can have contact with you, eye to eye, that you're going to reveal to us what are your plans with us here in Utrecht. Because you've placed us over here for a purpose. We're not here just to, in a waiting room. No, we're here to be involved in bringing your gospel to the people. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you're always there. That you're always standing with your arms wide open. And that you always say, come, my son. Come, my daughter. I'm waiting for you. Thank you that you're a father and who wants to be a father forever and ever for us. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.